It's May 30th, and I'm sitting up here on the roof of our building with Rusty and Grayson, and tonight we've been to Social Media Club panel on traditional media and new media. Boy, what an educational experience that was.
If by educational you mean...
disheartening. Patronizing.
Patronizing.
Honey, we went to Oz and back. That's where we went to. Ooh, we went way down the Yellow Brick Road.
Where to begin?
Gosh, good question. My God, we're like exhausted from our journey into...
Never Neverland,
the rabbit hole. I mean, Lewis Carroll ain't got nothing on us tonight. I mean, we have been put through the ringer.
Apparently, we're all young and just off the bus, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So
apparently.
Let's describe the scene. What was the scene
let's
like?
Let's set up for our audience.
We'll do a little setup here.
Okay.
So there were these two fellas from the mainstream press who we... were to understand we're going to come and have a conversation with some other folk who were at various degrees of business and social media and all that about social media and how it can benefit the mainstream press. One was from WSB.
Right.
This meeting was held in the WSB building.
They graciously invited us into Death Star 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. I mean, like, Amber's...
we weren't ever going to get out, but we did.
Amber's got photos of this place. It's got these imposing... metal bar fences around it.
They have a fence to keep the bloggers out.
Yeah.
I
think we're going to have to make some
walls about
this.
The 9/11 terror attacks, but we know it's because of the bloggers.
He made a crack about y'all have security clearances, right?
You bloggers.
That was ha-ha funny.
Yeah. Sure, let me whip out
all right, so this guy's name, apparently his official position is marketing of some kind. But a lot of what he does is oversee the web operation and take comments from web folk.
He responds to email, apparently.
He responds to email. We established
that. Yeah.
His name is Steve Riley, and the other guy was a reporter from the AJC, and his name was...
Manuel.
That's his last name.
Manuel's his last name?
M. Manuel, yeah.
I can't... Marlon Manuel?
Manuel. Yeah, that's right. Marlon Manuel.
He was on the features desk.
Well, the alliteration is throwing me off. I don't want to be a dick about that.
Yeah, they sent their big guns down.
So these two fellows were here ostensibly to have a conversation, but really it was more that they were lecturing us. Steve more so. I mean, he really...
Well, it's actually interesting. My perception actually was that the AJC fellow was actually even more lectury.
Oh, really?
I think they were both
Steve
lectury.
Steve started out and said, okay, class.
Well, you know, I think...
A mini lecture on Big Media 101.
Yeah.
As if we knew nothing.
I mean,
about
I think
big media,
in his case... You know, I'm not trying to defend the WSB guy, but I think in his case, he thought he was being cute and funny.
Well, too bad.
Whereas the other guy was just seriously just a pretentious guy. I'll refrain from name calling. But
no,
yeah.
The WSB guy was way pretentious. I mean, everything
they were both. Believe me, they were both that way.
Patronizing, condescending.
Yeah, I mean, they were both that way.
What?
The level of patronizing or patronization, I should say, was. Let me set the expectation here for anybody listening. I've been in every sort of situation. I've been patronized and called everything from here to that. But this was a really special, unique version of being patronized. Under the pretense or under the guise of having a conversation about social media.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the moment social media began to rear its apparently hideous head, it was... told that it was just an artistic. We were a boutique, nothing that they were terribly interested
and
in.
And passionate. We're supposed
we
to
were
so
really
passionate.
Accept that
it
as
makes
a
them
want to
be a better person.
As bloggers,
yeah.
They were going to be better because we were so patronizing, but we were young, remember?
We're young. Too.
We're unprofessional.
Unprofessional.
We were called unprofessional.
Exactly. As bloggers, of course, are all
that guy looked me right in the eye and said, I don't want to say irresponsible, but well, I can't really think of any other way to put it. And then unprofessional. And then he said, you know, I think what you're doing is more of an artistic thing. Obviously, never having seen or heard anything.
Let's
that
back
I'm
that
doing.
Sentence up. Do you even know what our URL is? I doubt
Do
it.
Do you know what I'm doing?
Do you have any idea?
He made it painfully obvious with his patronizing that he never read a word written, videotaped, podcasted, put on Planet Venus or whatever by a blogger in Atlanta ever in his entire long-suffering career in broadcasting, of which he made painfully
long-winded. Oh, he's been in this business for 30 years.
Yes,
don't you
forget
it.
How long he had been in this business, how many changes he had seen. However, he'd not been through enough changes, apparently, to read a goddamn blog.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly an Atlanta-based, media-based
Did
blog.
Did not get that far.
That sort of never came on the change in history and long-suffering career in broadcasting to actually read a blog from a blogger in Atlanta. So then we were, not only was there, we were dealing with the level of gross ignorance about the work that we do on our blogs, we were then, unbeknown to him about our work, he proceeded to call it essentially artistic, and that was probably the nicest thing, but unprofessional, childish.
Yeah, artistic, unprofessional,
irresponsible.
We were also lectured about journalistic integrity.
In our standards in journalism would never match that of WSB,
the ones where they let
TV.
A woman fucking die because of Richard Pearl, you know, I mean.
Richard Jewell.
And then they had the corrections.
Yeah, well, they were talking about integrity in media and how they were the standard bearers for credibility and for accuracy.
That was bullshit right from the start, because the guy from the AJC was up there thinking he was being funny and cute, I guess, but telling the truth, saying that, oh, well, we know that putting Britney Spears in the paper and
I called
blah, blah,
him on
that will sell. I called him on that.
Oh, yeah, you guys called him big time on that one.
Because I believe that was the first time that we in the audience, or are we formerly known as the audience? I don't know. We're permitted to speak.
Well, considering we weren't permitted to speak for over an hour.
He was talking about journalistic integrity.
Lecture too.
And so I asked him, well, okay, you say this about standards and, you know, journalistic standards and practices, but just a minute ago you were saying you're aware that, you know, putting Britney Spears on the cover sells papers, so
you were going to continue to do it. How many times have this group of bloggers right here, Rusty, Amber, myself, Grayson, have y'all written in the last 3 weeks about Lindsay Lohan, for instance? I know, how many times can we go back and count?
Remember, I'm going to go with a goose egg on that one.
Yeah. Let's say, how many times have we seen Lindsay Lohan on the front page of AJC.com and or WSBTV.com?
I know at least twice in the last week.
Yeah. I mean, at least once a week. And then they had the gall to say we were unprofessional, and yet they go after these hits, their ratings, whatever, and just...
And they talk
the
about
audacity. It just boggles my mind.
They talk
audacity.
About how everything has to be vetted, but I told them every time I've been quoted in the mainstream media, it's been wrong. They've gotten it wrong. And that doesn't happen in the blogosphere because there is accountability and a dialogue, and I can come back and say, no, what I actually said was this, or let me clarify. And that doesn't happen with the mainstream media because they do a story, they put it out, it's done, over with.
Right, and they want no interaction from the audience.
Although sometimes they might let them comment.
Yeah, I was about to get to that point.
The fellow
from the AJC, I asked him a question about the editorial process, and at some point he said, well, you know, sometimes with some stories, we open it up and let the audience comment.
You other people.
Who
aren't us.
We let the riffraff in. We let the kids come out and stay up a little late as long as they use their inside voices and comment.
And don't use that F word.
Because their readers were shocked to see words that start with F and end with K.
Oh, heaven.
Like
heavens to Betsy. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But, there were so many priceless gems tonight. But I think for me, the fact that this person looked me in the eye and said I was unprofessional, hadn't read a damn Word, had never visited a site, knew nothing about my history. And, you know, I didn't bother to bore the audience for a half an hour, you know, with my resume, for instance, or my history in this and my history with that. And Bob, in my age, we did this and that. You know, let's just get to the point. He just come right out and say, you're unprofessional. Whoever you are here, whatever you do, it's unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. Because we say so.
Because we happen to think so. And
this is the channel that puts up Monica Kaufman and her fucking hairdo every night. I mean, it's like...
Right, and you have that death.
You could
have
called me unprofessional.
You lead with... It's the whole roadkill. And then, the roadkill incident. They tried to actually argue that they don't really cover crashes and roadkill on our highways as lead stories really all that much, because they've got a whole hour to fill every night and they've got to get on with it and get down to serious business.
Sure they
and
do.
They challenge us to come up with the roadkill stories that they
just
did
wrong.
Per night.
All of us, we're all wrong. It's our perception.
Like, that's what you lead with every night. You fill an hour of your time with minutes and minutes and minutes of nothing but roadkill and who shot who. And boo shot who or whatever. And, you know, I'm sorry, I have not blogged once about teens wrecking their cars, their Camaros, in Gwinnett County as lead stories or my lead item for that evening. I've only got a certain amount of entries per day that I can do. Believe me, I'm not wasting my time on roadkill. But they really seriously challenged us to go back and say, well, how many times do we really cover roadkill?
Maybe we should. Maybe we should tape WSB
for
a week.
Maybe we should start. Maybe I should actually start watching local news. You know, they don't read our blogs.
You know,
maybe
I mean,
maybe they should read our blogs, and we should watch their news more often.
I only tune it in occasionally because every time I do, it's
another apartment fire. Yeah. It's they got these amazing resources, and they're talking about their helicopter coverage has changed the world and changed broadcasting because they could put cameras in helicopters to cover apartment fires for 15 minutes of their precious hour news block.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, this is the amazing resources you have. There are amazing things you're doing with these resources.
Do a little Media Matters on this and tape a couple weeks of it and time how much they dedicate to all this crap.
Look at what leads off their story for the first 10 minutes of their precious hour. Believe me, bloggers aren't sitting around spending a whole lot of time on apartment fires and roadkill.
But even though they obviously think of us as just, you know, not really worth their time, we're unprofessional and all the rest of it, even though they think all that, still, if there's any way that we can help them, you know, or that they can, you know, make a profit of some sort off of the legwork we've done, they'll take
sure.
it. Which is why we were, which is why we were brought in there, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, I thought it was going to be a conversation. That turned out not to be the case. They want us to do the hard work.
Right.
Us to educate them,
and
despite
them
all their resources, and
well,
then they get all the credit.
It's bizarre, because it's like they do and they don't, because I asked the AJC fella about, and you know, I can't pronounce his fucking name because of the alliteration, but...
Marlon Manuel.
I asked this guy about the editorial process, and the word I should have used was transparency. About,
right.
You know, at what point are you going to quit keeping this behind the behind the curtain and try to open it up and let folks who have some information share their information with you and have everyone collaborate? And yeah, he seemed kind of very dismissive of that.
Well,
yeah,
Riley seemed
lip service.
Yeah.
Riley seemed generally surprised, though, when I talked about the difference between mainstream media coverage and interaction in the blogosphere. And the look on his face was he seemed genuinely surprised. Like, oh, yeah, I guess people could have a conversation and a dialogue and flesh out the issue and talk about different perspectives and clarify. Oh, yeah. Like a light bulb sort of halfway went on, but not totally.
Yeah, and I ended up making the statement. I said, you know, we're the people with no resources. Essentially. I didn't say this, but, you know, we are bloggers. Yeah, I got one stupid little camera. We got some podcasting equipment. We got, you know, our thought process and our thoughts and our our creative writing skills, remember, because we're artistic.
We're artists.
Our artistic skills,
so,
yes.
Right. We're so artistic on our blogs. I don't know what the fuck they were talking about with that piece of whatever they pulled out of their ass. But I said, hey, we're open-minded in this process. You know, we would love to see some, you know, I didn't say this specifically, but we'd love to have you talk about something we wrote on our blogs, for instance, or we'd love to share some video with you or a podcast with you. We are open-minded, but we are not, you know, we're not the ones with the resources, but you can have whatever is ours is yours to take, essentially. And the guy goes, well, we're not open-minded.
Yeah.
And he essentially said, well, we are not so open-minded.
He did. That's what he said. And he also said, we're not very social.
Yes.
Even though he's talking about social media.
And he said it. We didn't. He said, we're not social. And we're not open-minded. And so why were they attempting this conversation at all is beyond me. But
I'm not really sure why they were there.
I don't understand, except to lecture us about TV 101. Well, God damn it. You know, I've worked in the fucking business for, over 20 years, 25 years. I don't need a lecture on the origins of WSBT, Welcome South, WSB TV, Welcome South Brother, and Ann Cox Chambers, and who died last week. And
I bet Wikipedia has a more accurate version of that.
Yeah, whose poodles got flown on whose Learjet to Paris by what sister who died last week. You know, come on, dude. I don't really give a damn about the history of your station because, I'm just a blogger and I'm professional and young, but funny how I happen to know it already, and you're wasting a lot of my time with your little TV 101 lecture. When you're here to discuss social media and how we can collaborate or not, rather, obviously.
I think the discussion was about not.
Well, I thought it was supposed to be a panel. I mean, my impression of what this was supposed to be was supposed to be a panel of people from different kinds of media.
If by panel you mean the two media fellas.
An expert lecturing.
Yeah, what I didn't expect was two
other people.
Old media guys sitting up there talking at us.
Yeah.
And patting us on the head and being incredibly condescending.
Hey, ain't that swell?
Aren't you so cute with your little blog?
You're so cute
artistic
with your blogs.
I wish I was artistic. Where did he pull that out of his ass from?
Serious.
Yeah. And somebody said
I've
something
never been
about
artistic in my life. I'm the most literal, unimaginative person on the planet.
Somebody said something about the blogosphere being like a game of telephone, which is completely. I mean,
well, it's ironic coming from people who got 10 layers of editors.
Right. So it's like if a story goes through 10 editors, that's not like a game of telephone. That's much more analogous than the blogosphere, which is decentralized. And
well, they can't run a story about Lindsay Lohan without having 10 people piss on it. I mean, is that really worth your time and resources and efforts to run a story about Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears wearing no underpants? But you got to have 10 editors decide whether that's newsworthy or not. We can make those adult decisions ourselves and choose not to talk about that material. But you know, again,
but
we're young,
papers.
We're unprofessional.
Well, I mean, what it comes down to is they're full of shit.
Yeah, I have really. It was an amazing bullshit session.
And
I've heard some great bullshit in my life, but that was way up there.
I was also really not surprised because I'm really not surprised, but taken aback by the woman in the group who I don't know who she was, I didn't catch her name or where she was from because we all didn't get a chance to introduce ourselves or anything like that.
They didn't bother to find out who was
there. No, because it doesn't really matter.
Or what they did.
But she started piping up with some bullshit about, well, most Americans don't understand how to figure out which sources are credible. And so when everybody's talking, it's like Americans are just going to think they're not going to know, and it was so offensive. And I had to turn around and tell her, it's like, that is incredibly condescending. I like to start with people from the approach that people
credible.
Have brains and that adults can figure things out for themselves.
And you work back from there.
Yeah, because start trying to talk to someone from that perspective, they're going to get defensive. And no, it's not going to be an actual dialogue because you're being so incredibly insulting and condescending.
Because you feel that you need to slap the news in front of their face and move on to the next item of importance that you have decided yourself in your little editorial scheming and wheeling and dealing in your newsroom that's important for the American public. And what did the guy say? He said, oh, you people are so beyond us. You know, it's the most patronizing tone I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You're so beyond us in your level of ability because
thank you, all my friends
and neighbors, all they can do is forward email at this point in their lives. That's how they use DSL these days. They just forward email chain letters.
Those silly rubes.
Those silly rubes out there. The American public, they need us. They need us at WSB-TV to put on what's important for them because they don't even blogs. Oh, my goodness.
Bless their hearts.
Would they even read a blog? They don't even know what a blog is. I, personally, being the big newsy woozy, you know, poobah here at WSB, I only found out about blogs last week. So, of course, no one else understands this concept of using the internet and using social media. Oh, and then I love how the sort of question went around the room of, well, what social media do you use?
And at first they couldn't,
and they couldn't
simply,
answer.
Well, they thought
they honestly don't use any.
Well, they were taken aback
were
by
stumped.
The thought of having to answer for themselves personally,
wait,
not
what
as
personally?
A company or
right.
you know on the
forget
WSB
the
website.
You know,
we have 500
they're
licenses
hiding,
for blah,
they were
blah, blah.
Hiding behind the Oz curtain there of their corporation.
Yeah. What are you,
what are you personally doing?
Use
it regarding
yeah.
social media. What platforms are you using? You know, how are you? Nobody could answer that question.
They use email.
You know, they don't want to tell you that, but they're not allowed to. And also, you know, their actions on the internet are controlled by their corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And so thus they think they need to control everyone else's, that somehow internet access belongs to them as well. And it's that's really baffling to me.
You know,
when the guy wanted to say, he asked me, well, how often, what was he trying to say? What at your company, can you use the internet? It's like, I'm self-employed. I run my own company. If I want to get on the goddamn internet, I get on the damn internet.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You know, I don't need a company or a mandate or an editorship to tell me what websites I'm going to look at. And there are a lot of other people out there like me, too.
Well, getting back to the gatekeeper thing, I mean, they kept rehashing this point about, well, we have government regulations, we have journalistic integrity,
oh, the
we
FCC
have corporate responsibility.
Right.
You know,
the FCC
and
breathing down their
you
back.
Know, let's talk about corporate responsibility for a second. You know, how many stories about the Coxes have they decided conveniently not to cover because they're the AJC and, oops, they're owned by the Coxes? There's
exactly.
been at least three in the last 3 or 4 months that I recall.
You know, it's a family-run private business.
And, you know.
So they don't have to cover shit, really,
how
I
many
guess,
interests,
they don't want to.
How many interests in Atlanta do you think that the Coxes are intertwined in that they seriously.
Essentially every single one,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Would not cover. Because it's not within their interest to cover it. And so, you know, that goes two ways. And I don't think it's a totally invalid point to say, well, if you're a business and you're making money, there on some level in some places is some accountability that comes with that that doesn't necessarily come with a not-for-profit blogger. But it goes both ways. You know, there are other places where you're going to be much less accountable.
The whole issue of accountability did come up because somehow they accused the blogosphere of having no accountability,
mm-hmm.
Being these, you know, freewheeling, irresponsible, artistic children,
mm-hmm.
All out there running cat blogs or something. And yet, when it comes down to transparency and accountability, you know, I hearken back to the Olympic bombing and the horrible, horrible mess they made out of accusing the wrong person of a bombing and carrying that on to just ludicrous degree. And essentially that was a handful of people running a story entirely into the ground that had no merit. And the entire world was watching this city, watching this paper at this time. And I had to bring up the fact that, you know, you talk about credibility and accountability. Well, you used up all your credibility and accountability chips, you know, way back during the Olympic bombing, if you ask me. Honey, you blew your wad right there. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever trust anything in the AJC again after how they handled that entire situation. And I like to think, and I could be just completely magical thinking here, that had that happened in this day and age with cell phone cameras, with blogs out there, with a level of transparency in media we do have now, would that whole scenario of accusing and going after down a dead end, essentially, would that have ever happened? in the blogosphere nowadays. And had there been a more transparent media, would Richard Jewell have ever been even accused of that crime? I don't know. I mean, we don't know. We don't have the answers to it. But when they talk about credibility, you know, honey, they've used up so many credibility chips in that one situation alone. For me, as someone who's, you know, lived in Atlanta for a long, long time and followed the news coverage in Atlanta for a very, very long time.
But you're young as far
but
as
we're young but and we're unprofessional.
You're young.
I wish I was. Lordy, honey. Oh, I only wish I was. But yeah, I'm sorry, but I actually remember things where big media here in Atlanta, where Cox Plantation is really, really screwed up badly. And, you know, I honestly believe that the whole situation would never have gotten that far out of control had there been a blogosphere to account for. And I really just think they showed, at least to us, their amazing level of unawareness of how people are using the internet these days. They showed an amazing level of unawareness about citizen journalism. They'd heard about citizen journalism from the WKRN situation. They were astonished that little young bloggers had taken it upon themselves to actually interview someone about citizen journalism.
Isn't
who's
that
actually
sweet?
Practicing it.
Isn't that sweet?
In a market, in the Nashville market at WKRN, they were shocked. Just shocked.
He was bemused that I told him, hey, we interviewed these people back in October.
Did you drive your own cars?
I know. Do you have a license to do that, though, Andrew?
Did mom let you out of the house long enough to do that?
Do you interview people about citizen journalism? Now, who gave you permission to go do that, Amber?
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not
motherfucker,
professional.
I have a journalism degree just like, you know, you might or probably
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, dude. You know, I didn't bring up the fact, but, you know, as I told you guys, I turned 30 in the National Hurricane Center with Hurricane Andrew blowing the entire city to pieces. You know, and I honestly, the entire building was shaking and I'm screaming to, you know, to get on the bird, to make the feed, to put Bob Sheets, the director of the hurricane, on the air, to go live, to inform the entire world about what was happening. You know, that's how I turned 30. That's how I spent my 30th birthday, was in a broadcasting clusterfuck. But again, I'm unprofessional. And I just am not experienced. And they just sort of, you know, assumed that was my background because I happen to have a blog, that I have no background in journalism, broadcasting, writing, you name it. It's just assumed that I'm running a fucking cat blog.
But the thing that I thought was funny, too, was that Riley sort of touched on, you know, some of the good points of blogging, but it's like it didn't register with him. He talked about the WKRN guy being one of the first managers in the, you know,
in the broadcasting industry
to have a blog and actually respond to comments and stuff like that. And he mentioned that.
Yeah, he was very aware of that.
And he said, and I have immense respect for him, but then it's like,
but I'm not going to ever
not
do what
registering?
He's doing.
That was bizarre to me.
The whole concept of citizen journalism seemed to have gone completely over his head. He bypassed it altogether. He admired the WKRN director, news director, and what he had done. He said he was a friend of his. He partied with him. But, you know, God forbid he ever have to... He could never, I guess, make as a business model incorporating citizen journalism fly here at Cox Plantations, for all I know. I don't... You know, he just... And so he wasn't even going to entertain the idea of doing so.
How about some final thoughts and reflections? Anything else?
Final thoughts and reflections. Well, they've got this lump of coal that they call the editorial process so far up their ass, and they think that if they keep it in there long enough, a diamond's going to come out. But it's not. It's my final thought.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm a little speechless after all this. I mean, it blew me away to have the guy look me in the face and say, well, I think what you're doing is blah, 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 when he obviously has no idea what I'm doing. And I don't have any answers. I don't know where this is going to go or what's going to happen, but the Cox Empire is backwards, and they're going further backwards by the
she
minute.
She worked for them.
Yeah, I used to work for them.
Yes.
Well, my final thoughts are they need only look at the clusterfuck the music industry is in right now. And it's completely, the music industry has been entirely turned over. It's, you know, the, it's been upside down. It's the music industry is no longer, there is no business model for the music industry, in other words. So if the news industry, the broadcast news industry, thinks they're sort of immune to the tsunami that hit because of digital media, the music business, if they somehow think they're going to slide by and are immune to the entire process of digitizing media and making media accessible and owning media on an individual basis and citizen journalism having some sort of impact, if they think they're immune to that at WSB, at Channel 2 or AJC, wherever, I think they're in for quite a surprise. The tsunami has hit an entire industry and overturned it, and it is not stopping. It is headed their way.
Do you want to mention the event on June 7th?
Oh, yeah. By the way, on June 7th, Atlanta Press Club.
If you want to come out for another clusterfuck.
Yeah, I think there's going to be one more round of clusterfucks.
I think
happening.
We've got a sequel coming. Yeah.
We got a sequel coming on June 7th, Atlanta Press Club. Very old, traditional organization. Fine organization. I've been a member of that for many, many years. They have decided that new media exists. And what is it? They want to know. So they're going to hold the first of
Is it a fad?
Is it a fad?
Does
it
have staying power?
I don't know.
Sort of like an erection?
Digital thingy going
on
out there? What is the internet? They want to know,
people
and they've got
connect over a series of tubes.
Issues. What is this down the tube stuff? Anyway, they're holding a panel on new media at the Press Club at Commerce Cove, 6 p.m. Be there June 7th. That's a Thursday night. And I must say that our great leader, his Doug Monroe at Peachtree Screed, has left us to go off to New York City in our great time of need. For people,
we're going to miss Doug
in citizen journalism, and he won't be there June 7th because he has abandoned us here, and now we're left to our own devices and to Julia Wallace's media empire on our own.
God help us all. She knows online communities best.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.